You are listening to the gospel message in both Chinese and English. The co-workers of Living in Jesus Ministries edited the sermons of the Chinese preachers, and you can understand how the Oriental believers explained the Bible. May God bless your new life in the Lord.
Because he spent about 6 years in China, and then he went back to England for a period of time. And before going back to England, or on his way back to England, he cut off his queue, because obviously they don't wear queues in England. And so he cut off his queue, and he braided this queue into two watch bands, and then he gave these two watch bands to his parents as presents. So if any of you girls want to cut your hair from long to short, you have an idea. You don't throw it away. You can braid a watch band and give it to your parents, or you can hold on to it and give it to your children to be whatever. So that's what Hudson Taylor did. Well, lo and behold, these two watch bands have been passed down each generation, all the way to my generation, and I'm ready to hand them off to my son when I go into eternity. But you know, sometimes I'll pull out those two watch bands, and I'll look rather envious at them, because he obviously had enough hair to cut and do a watch band. I will have problems even getting what watch band with the amount of hair I have. And I'm only sorry we can't take that hair and somehow transplant it on top of my head, and I can grow out some extra hair here. But that's all a humorous story, except behind that humorous story was a very important thing, and that is that Hudson Taylor wanted to shorten the distance between the gospel and the Chinese. You know, they used to say something. They said, one more Christian, one less Chinese. 多一个基督徒,少一个中国人. Because many people thought that this was a Western religion. Well, of course, Westerners brought it, and so it was easy to make that, to have that misperception. But actually, the gospel of Jesus Christ, this faith is not a Western, it's not an Eastern, it's not a Northern, it's not a Southern. God so loved the world that he gave his son that whosoever believes in him. So even though it might have come from the West, it is not a Western religion. And so Hudson Taylor tried very hard to break through. Well, the other thing that I remember growing up that deeply impressed me about Hudson Taylor's life, actually two other things very quickly. One is his faith in God. He had an amazing faith in God, a trust in God. And I've heard stories after stories, and I read stories after stories of how Hudson Taylor experienced the faithfulness of God. Even actually before he went to China, he experienced God's faithfulness. He actually, before he went to China, he worked for several years in a pharmacy while he was doing medical studies. And as he was working in that pharmacy, he suddenly came to realize that his boss, this pharmacist, often forgot to pay Hudson Taylor his weekly salary. So he was working there, and he realized that this pharmacist would forget. And every week he was supposed to give his salary, and yet this pharmacist would forget to pay Hudson Taylor. Well, Hudson Taylor was very, very perplexed. He didn't know what to do. He was faced with a choice of either reminding his boss, hey, it's time for you to pay me, or to ask God to remind his boss to pay him. Now, let me ask you a question. If you were Hudson Taylor, which one would you do? Now, you don't need to answer that. I can about guess what. Well, I'll tell you what I would do. I would remind my boss to pay me. And in fact, if he forgot too often, I would take him to court. Hudson Taylor wasn't of that mind. He decided that he would learn to move men by prayer and by prayer alone. That was something that he said. To move men by prayer and prayer alone. And so he decided that he would pray for his boss and ask God to remind his boss to pay him. And there are many stories where his boss would 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks would forget to pay Hudson Taylor, and to the point where Hudson Taylor had no money left in his pockets. And yet he would pray, and each time he experienced God actually listening to his prayer and his boss eventually remembering to pay him. And Hudson Taylor often described those experiences of us as opportunities of strengthening his faith and helping him, even before he went to China, to learn to trust God and to realize that God would provide for his every need. And whether it's in England or eventually when Hudson Taylor went to China, that God was going to provide for his needs. And I want to tell you that God, our God is a faithful God. Our God is a faith. You know, I grew up hearing those stories over and over again. And for so long of a period of time, I thought, well, you know, God works that way in former generations. That's what God does, you know, five generations ago. But God in his graciousness has allowed me as well as our family to also experience his faithfulness in amazing ways. Let me just share a story with you that happened in my own life, actually here in the Bay Area. I actually worked in the Bay Area for 2 years after I finished college. I worked in Berkeley. I was doing research on China. I was very interested in China. China had just begun to open up and the U.S. had just formalized relationships with China during the Carter administration. This was before most of you were born, or a fair majority of you were born. But in 1979, China and the United States formalized their relationships, and then Deng Xiaoping came to power in the 1980s, and China opened up, and a lot of American businesses began to look at the possibility of going to China. And so when I graduated from college in 1982, and probably some of you weren't even born then either, and you could about guess how old I am today if you know roughly when people graduate from college. But in 1982, I was very interested in going to China to use my Chinese. Even though I was a Christian, I had no interest in becoming a missionary, for the simple reason that I was sick and tired of people asking me, are you going to be a missionary like your father, like your grandfather, like your great-grandfather, like your great-great-grandfather? You know, having the name James Hudson Taylor IV doesn't really help much. And actually, if my English name is bad enough, my Chinese name is even worse. Because in my Chinese name, it actually literally means following after your ancestors. And so I remember at that age of 5 or 6, I was asked over and over again, 代继宗, that's my Chinese name, 继续祖宗. Are you going to be a missionary like your ancestors were a missionary, like your father, like your grandfather? And at the age of 5 or 6, believe it or not, I made a decision that absolutely no way would I ever consider becoming a missionary. I became a Christian when I was in high school, actually my last year of high school, my senior year. I was living in Taiwan. My parents were missionaries in Taiwan. They lived in Taipei, and they sent me down to Taichung to live at a Christian school called Morrison Academy. I lived in the dorm of Morrison Academy. And it was when I was a senior in high school that God used a teacher in the school. I still remember his name, Wendell Powers. Mr. Powers, I called him. For some reason, he either liked me or he realized this kid needs some help. And so Mr. Powers was very, very patient with me, and actually he shared the gospel with me in a way that I could accept it. And he was the one actually who led me to pray to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I still remember that after I became a Christian, he said, well, the most important thing you need to do is to be baptized now. I said, okay, where should I be baptized? And I think he was joking, although he might have been half serious. He said, well, Morrison has a swimming pool. We'll just baptize you in the swimming pool. There's a lot of water. You have a lot of sins to wash away. So it was on Mother's Day, I still remember, in 1978, that I stepped into the Morrison pool in Taichung, and I was baptized by Wendell Powers. Well, actually, if you fast forward to just this last April, I had the joy of stepping into that same swimming pool and baptizing my son and my daughter. And so that was an amazing experience. That was a very emotional experience for me because I stood there in this pool and I said to the people, there was about 50 people attending my son and my daughter's baptism. And I said, it was about 30 years ago that I was standing in this very same pool. And in fact, it was probably the very next time. So for 30 years, I had never stepped into that pool. But I said, 30 some years ago, I stood in the same pool and baptized. I was baptized. And so it was quite an emotional experience for me that day to baptize my children in the very same pool. Incidentally, it was quite clean, so it was all right. To baptize them in the same pool that I was baptized. But even though I was a Christian, I was vehemently opposed to becoming a missionary. And I sort of giving God face, 给他面子, I'm willing to be a Christian, but absolutely no way am I going to be a missionary. Well, and throughout my college experience, that is basically what happened until I came down to Berkeley. And I had 2 years of studying about China, researching China, preparing myself to go to China to work in a secular job. And lo and behold, in those 2 years, an amazing thing happened, and that is the Lord gave me an opportunity to meet a retired missionary from China. Actually, he was from England, Cambridge University. He went to China as a missionary. His name was David Adney, and he was retired in his 70s, living in Berkeley, and I became friends with Mr. Adney. And through those 2 years, Mr. Adney patiently discipled me. We like to use the word mentor today, but just patiently walked with me. And over those 2 years, he helped me to come to realize that actually God was calling Jamie Taylor into full-time ministry. It just happened that Jamie Taylor's name was also James Hudson Taylor IV. But I wasn't becoming a minister because my father was a minister, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, or my great-great-grandfather, but because God was calling me, just as there are no grandkids in the kingdom of God. This serving the Lord is also not passed down generationally. Each generation has to make a decision whether I am going to believe, whether I am going to serve the Lord. But what I wanted to say is, after I made that decision, one of the things that I asked the Lord to help me, because I knew I would be asked over and over again, are you a missionary because your father was a missionary? Are you a missionary because your grandfather, your great-grandfather, your great-great-grandfather? And I said, Lord, I need to experience you in a very real way and be confident that this is indeed your leading. And God used many things, amongst which there is one thing that I remember he did that very much released me from any pressure that I ever felt of being born and raised and serving in this family. I applied to seminary, and I decided that just as Hudson Taylor had faith in God and God faithfully provided for Hudson Taylor, that I wanted to also experience God's faithfulness in all of my tuitions to seminary. I wasn't going to borrow any money from any bank. I wasn't going to borrow any money from any denomination. I wasn't going to ask my parents to loan me any money. Actually, I had less than $500 in my bank account when I applied to seminary. I had less than $500 when I got in my Datsun B210. I still remember it was a green Datsun B210. And I drove halfway across the country to a seminary in Kentucky called Asbury Theological Seminary. I had less than $500 in my pocket. And yet I had a prayer in my heart and a confidence in my heart that God heard my prayer and that he would provide for all of my seminary needs. And 3 years later, you know, over those 3 years, just an amazing thing happened. Every semester, different people gave without me ever asking one person to give. Different people sent money to the seminary so that I owed nobody any money. Well, I owed many people a debt of gratitude. But I realized in that experience that just as God was faithful in Hudson Taylor's day, God is faithful in my day. And God can also be faithful and will be faithful in your day as well. Whatever needs you might face. You know, one of the verses that very much encouraged Hudson Taylor was a phrase in the Old Testament in reference to God, referring to God as Jehovah Jireh. That's a phrase that you can find in the book of Genesis, chapter 22, where God called Abraham to take Isaac up to the mountain that he showed him and sacrifice Isaac on the altar. And as Abraham obeyed God and went to the mountain that God instructed him to go, you remember that God provided a ram that replaced Isaac as that sacrifice. And in that experience, we read about Jehovah Jireh, which means God is our provider. And God will provide if you and I are faithful and obedient to Him. No matter what you might be facing, God is a faithful God. And we can experience God's faithfulness. Well, just very quickly, one other thing that really impacted me most about Hudson Taylor was his heart and his desire to see the Chinese hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there was an experience that he had early on in his missionary experience that impacted him greatly. He was preaching one day, and after he had finished preaching, he was living in Shanghai, and back in those days, a lot of the transportation was by boat. And so he was on a boat making his way back to his house in Shanghai. And a young man who had actually spent the good part of the day with Hudson Taylor was traveling back with him. This young man was very interested in the gospel. He hadn't become a Christian, but he was very, very interested in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so he wanted to use that opportunity to travel with Hudson Taylor to hear more about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so all the way back to Shanghai, Hudson Taylor was able to share the gospel with this young man and to encourage him to accept Jesus Christ. Well, just as they were coming to their destination, Hudson Taylor needed to go down and gather up all of his belongings. And so he excused himself and he said, I'll come up very quickly back up to the deck of this small boat. And he went down to gather his stuff. And lo and behold, as he's gathering his stuff, suddenly he heard what sounded like somebody either falling off of the boat or jumping off of the boat. He heard somebody, heard a splash and as if somebody fell into the water. And so he quickly came up and lo and behold, he couldn't find this young man on the boat. He was nowhere to be seen. And he looked all around him and he couldn't see this young man in the water at all as well. And it suddenly dawned on him that maybe this young man accidentally slipped into the water, and because he didn't know how to swim, he began to sink down into the water. And so Hudson Taylor took off his shirt and he jumped into the water and tried to find his way in that murky water, tried to find this young man. And every time he went down into the water and he came back up huffing and puffing, and every dive into the water met failure. And he wasn't able to bring this man up. Well, finally, utterly exhausted, he pulled himself back up onto the boat and he saw, lo and behold, there on the riverside, there were some fishermen who were washing their nets. And so he yelled out in a voice and he said, come quickly. There is somebody who has fallen into the water here. Bring your nets over here and you can drag the bottom and see if we can quickly drag him up before it's too late. Well, can you imagine what these fishermen answered? They said, it's not convenient right now. Because they were just washing their nets, and so their nets were clean. They said, it's not convenient. Well, he said, here's a man's life. What is convenience when it pertains to a man's life? He said, come quickly, I will pay you. Well, they were good businessmen. So they said, well, how much are you going to pay me? Or pay us. Well, Hudson Taylor thought, well, this is not the time to negotiate a price. So he said, I'll pay you everything I have. Well, that didn't satisfy them quite yet. They said, well, how much is everything that you have? Well, eventually they were able to determine all of that, and he was able to convince them to come. And lo and behold, it was only a few moments before they drug up this man's body. But unfortunately, it was too late. It was too late. Now, most of us in hearing that story, both today as well as in Hudson Taylor's day, would feel those fishermen were very cruel people, very unloving people, and in a sense, rightly so. But you know, in that story and in that experience, what Hudson Taylor saw actually was something very, very different. Because he saw in that young man actually the thousands upon thousands and thousands of Chinese. You know, back in those days, in Hudson Taylor's day, there was about 300 million Chinese. The population of the United States today was the population of China 150 years ago. So if you know what the United States population is, 300 million, that was the population of China 150 years ago. But thousands of Chinese had never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, just like this young man. And so in that young man, Hudson Taylor saw the Chinese and people who needed to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, in those fishermen, what Hudson Taylor saw was actually the church and Christians. The word calloused is probably too strong of a word, but they were completely disinterested in this one soul that was racing to a Christless eternity. They were busy with their life in church. They were busy with their life and work. And when God called upon them to maybe go to China, their response is, 不方便. It's not convenient. I have many other things I'm busy with. Well, God says, come quickly. Here are souls racing to a Christless eternity. And then some people began to negotiate with God. Well, how much am I going to get out of this deal? And so that experience actually very much impacted Hudson Taylor to the point that he realized that in that picture was a lost world that was drowning, literally, spiritually, and a church that was sitting on the sideline, completely uninterested in what was going on. And through that experience, Hudson Taylor had a growing burden in his heart to encourage more and more people to get involved in missions. And I'm so thankful that not only in his generation, but in my great-grandfather's generation, in my grandfather's generation, in my father's generation, and now in this generation, that God has given our family the privilege of working in missions. And I want to just close with one final picture. If you were with us this morning at the service, you'll recall that I mentioned we found Hudson Taylor's tomb in the city of Zhenjiang, which is in the province of Jiangsu, just very close to Shanghai. I want to close with just a brief testimony of that experience of finding that tomb. This was actually in 1994-95 when we found Hudson Taylor's tomb in the city of Zhenjiang. We had actually gone to the city several years earlier than that, but we were completely unsuccessful in locating his tomb until quite amazingly we were able to find it. It was actually in the museum, the local museum, the Zhenjiang Museum. And after several years of negotiating with them to allow us to bring out this tombstone, to buy this tombstone, so to speak, we went to Zhenjiang and we moved this tombstone out of the museum and we placed it in a church right there in that same city. And I'll never forget, as we were going to move that tombstone out, my father was there and the pastor, the local pastor, and we gathered around that tombstone and we had a time of prayer together. We prayed together. And I remember that Chinese pastor praying and he began to cry. He began to weep and he thanked God for all of the missionaries, not just Hudson Taylor, but for all of the missionaries who sacrificed their lives so that Chinese might hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then when he had finished praying, my father closed with prayer. It was a very short prayer that I'll never forget. And this is what I'd like to leave with you, if you would allow me. My father prayed this prayer. He said, Lord, let the same spirit that moved Hudson Taylor fall doubly on us today. In Chinese, we could say it like this. 但愿感动戴德生的灵能够加倍的感动我们. You remember that that was the prayer of Elisha when the Old Testament prophet Elijah was just on his way to heaven. And the prayer that Elisha had was that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Elijah, would fall doubly on Elisha. And that day as we stood by that tombstone, the prayer on our heart was that that same Spirit that moved Hudson Taylor would fall doubly on us. And my prayer for each and every one of you, for myself in this day, is that the Spirit of Hudson Taylor, the Spirit of God that was on Hudson Taylor, in Hudson Taylor's life, would fall doubly upon us. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, thank you for this morning, this noon, for the chance to share a little bit about your grace in our family. And Lord, I want to close with that picture from the book of Joshua. From a family saved to a family committed to serve. And Lord, for each family represented here, I pray that we would be families that are saved by the grace of God. And Lord, if there would be anyone here who has not yet accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Father, that you would open up their hearts, that they would accept Jesus Christ. And Lord, that our family members would have the joy of receiving Jesus Christ. And each and every one of our families that is represented here this morning would be families just like Rahab's family. Families that are saved. And yet, Lord, we realize that we are not only saved, but we have been saved so that we might serve. And so we thank you for that picture of Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So help, Father, help each family here as well, not only to be saved, but we would also be committed to serve you, wherever you might take us. And Lord, it might be to remain here, it might be to go somewhere else. Help us to be resolved in our hearts and in our minds that we would serve you. And Lord, we do pray that that same Spirit that you used to move not only Hudson Taylor, but so many, many missionaries would fall doubly upon us. We'll be thankful. We're thankful to you, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Do you have any thoughts or questions after listening to the program? Please send your letters. Let us have fellowship in the grace of God. You are also welcome to listen to and watch other programs on the website of Living in Jesus. May the truth of Jesus guide you to walk with the Lord day by day.